This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Message will self-destruct.
What time is the danger?
What time is the danger?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride, they had talent, they had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
24
Reno.
Rambo!
Here we go!
Happy Football Friday, everybody. How are we doing? How are we feeling?
What is happening?
It's a fantastic little Friday morning for you. It's a Duck game day.
Game day, baby!
Game day.
The here we go, I think, adds a nice, it's a nice little touch at the end.
It's a great start.
You get through all the other calls, and then you get the here we go.
Here we go. We'll finish with that one.
That's a good way to wrap it all up.
It's all about the finish.
I've never been a great big Dak Prescott fan. I think he's good, but, I think that is slowly but surely worked into my top five quarterback calls of all time.
For multiple reasons. One,
because absolutely.
It's just a good, here we go, and you can hear it, and it's clear, and I love that. And then you have pointed this out a million times. Him here we going prior to a disaster is also just hilarious.
Down 20, he's thrown two pick sixes. Yeah, here we go!
And another pick. All right.
He says it so confidently. Like, he says it in a way that, like, makes you think, I'm going to smoke you on this play.
Exactly.
Yeah, here we go.
Doesn't matter what just happened.
You're like, oh,
strip sack fumble. Oh, no, dang.
Oh,
you were not ready to.
Here we go.
You were not ready to go on that play. You clearly were not prepared. You shouldn't have said, here we go.
Now, he didn't have that call when he took Romo's spot originally.
No.
And I've always wondered the origins of certain quarterbacks' calls. Like, at what was it, Peyton's first season in Denver when he was doing the Omaha?
I feel like Omaha was not an indie thing.
It was just an indie thing.
Thing when he got there.
I feel like Rodgers, he carried it over to New York. He's still doing the Green 19.
Yeah, Green 19 is an old school classic. That's, I feel like been around since the 1990s.
But I don't think Dak started his career as the starter with, yeah, Here we go.
Is it a Mike McCarthy thing? He's been there a couple of years now. I feel like they might have coincided. I feel like that's more recent in the Dak Prescott history.
Was it from a Kellen Moore offense?
Could have been. Yeah, I mean, it's just getting everybody set. Here we go. You got to get ready for the play. Getting ready to snap it. Here we go.
How do we determine what to say there? Did he come up with that? Or
I would imagine there's a little combination between both, that he comes up with something. Kellen Moore wants him to have something that kind of sets everybody up. You could use it as a dummy count to get defenses to try and jump off sides. Sometimes he pump fakes you. He gives you multiple here we goes. He does the big high leg raise too. The right knee goes way up in the air for Dak Prescott.
I always love the double clap.
Double clap. A lot of here we goes. You know, the knees up there.
Here we go.
And then he's ready. And then he throws a pick. And then he's, oh, Dak, no, damn it.
I have two questions.
What do you got?
Okay.
To start the show today. It's a beautiful football Friday. As I mentioned, it's a Duck game day.
Yes.
Dirt's double dipping his chip today.
I am. Working overtime today. They're going to pay me double, right? Is that how it works?
That's, yeah.
Sure.
An Odyssey station.
That happens to me all the time.
Kind of a dumb question to say.
I mean, I knew the answer, obviously. I'm well aware of what my paycheck looks like. Dirt almost wasn't on the show today.
What happened to me today?
You almost weren't on.
How come?
You're doing pregame.
Oh, yeah. They didn't want me to do the show this morning. And I said,
fascinating. Here we go.
Come on. What are we doing
as
here?
As your co-host, it's a fascinating
what are we doing here?
Viewpoint.
I'm not missing a football. Look, we take a lot of pride in this show. And I like being here. I hate missing shows. I feel guilty whenever I'm not here doing a show.
Yeah.
And if this was somebody needed me to do something on a Friday afternoon in July, you might have an easier time convincing me to not come in and wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But for a football Friday, on a game day,
I know
people are on their way to Eugene. I'm not missing this show.
Your first conference game against a traditional Big Ten team.
Yes,
I love the stipulations we're throwing in now with these Big Ten games.
Well, because last week was not a Big Ten game.
It was. I mean, it was. But at the Rose Bowl,
it was not. You know, it was, but it wasn't. You know,
but it was. It was.
It was.
Friday night, it'll be dark. It'll be crisp. Might be a little damp. This will feel like Big Ten football.
A little sassy lisp there,
it
by
was.
You.
Crisp. It's gonna be a little crisp out there. You're gonna get your pumpkin spice latte.
Pumpkin spice is going.
I have two football questions for you to start the show. One, is Atlanta good? And two, can you win a Super Bowl with Kirkers and Baker Mayfield?
I'm gonna answer both yes and yes. What level of good is Atlanta? I don't know. But I think that's a good football team.
Well, every game they play is the dumbest
game. It's going to be close. It's going to be a one-score game.
They're going to come back at the end.
Or lose in heartbreaking fashion.
Michaels kept trying to call him Young Hoku.
He did.
Does he not know that it's Young Waku?
I also thought that
He's looking at it, and he's just like, oh, that says Ho. Young Hoku.
You get a chance to say Ho on national TV, you're going to say Ho on national TV. He also was very excited about the coup part of that. I felt like the coup got a nice...
It's a cool name.
It got a nice little boost from old Al Michaels. It was always a Young Ho coup.
Dude, if I was a Korean, I would have a coup jersey.
Yeah, that would be pretty badass.
Come on, how would you not?
And he's kicking game-tying and game-winning field goals seemingly every week this season.
Yeah.
Even though I know he had one block earlier, and I think he missed one earlier in the game, too.
So let's start with
when
first.
It mattered, he made the kick.
Is Atlanta good?
Atlanta's a good football team.
Atlanta's good.
They're a good football team.
I don't know if they're
final
great.
Answer.
But
final answer.
Okay. I don't know if I trust your confidence in the way you answered
hey,
that.
Hey, tied for first now in the NFC South Atlanta Falcons.
That's a divisional win for them last night.
It was a big one. I think you don't want to go must win. If they lose that game, you're two games behind Tampa. I think Tampa's probably the better team, but you're two games back and you got to go to Tampa later in the season. That's a tough uphill climb.
And you do believe. See in your mind, Kirkers and Baker hoisting the Lombardi. In the right situation, obviously with the right team, we all know that.
Yes and yes.
You believe those two quarterbacks could win the Super Bowl?
Primarily, I will answer that question because they are not in the AFC. And so you do not need to beat Kansas City in order to get to a Super Bowl.
But you need to beat Kansas City to
likely to win the Super Bowl. You likely will need to beat them. And then, you know, that's not going to be easy. But when I look at the NFC this year, like, who has been the dominant team?
Minnesota.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people still say, I'll believe it when, you know, give it a little more time. It's only been a month. You could lose this weekend to the Jets, and then you're 4-1, and I'm sure that will be the talking point. The Niners are banged up.
But I'm still not sure. I think Atlanta's better than Tampa. And that's what's crazy about that game last night.
They might not be. I probably wouldn't take them to be better. If I were picking a team to win the NFC South, it would still be Tampa out of that loss. I mean, they had half of their defense was out by the end of that game.
I know.
In the final, you know, couple of drives there, they didn't have either starting safety available. So it was a bit of a mash unit. That's what you get on Thursdays. But I think the wins that they've accumulated, yes, luckily, partly, but also clutch play by their quarterback. Coming back and beating Philly the way that they did, the Saints game was weird. They had multiple chances in the fourth quarter to beat Kansas City in that Sunday night football game.
They did.
But they lost that one in heartbreaking fashion. And then you have multiple game-winning drives where you tie it with less than a minute to go, and then you win it immediately in overtime. I think they deserve the credit. They got three quality wins early in the season.
I think every single game for them, they've been at the 99% chance of losing on the win probability, and they've won the games outside of the Kansas City game, and who was their other loss?
The other loss was the first one to the Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
18-10, not giving up a touchdown. They lost 18-10 on right. six field goals in week one.
You know, for all the noise about Rodgers and they're going to Europe, Kirkus has infinitely been better post-Achilles than Rodgers.
Not even close.
It's not close.
And I think you could see the similar stuff in week one where Cousins didn't look confident. He wasn't pushing off. It just, I think a lot of people were questioning the first week and a half of the year how long until Michael Penix comes in and plays here.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looked a lot better the last couple of weeks, including last night. Now, yes, part of that is aided by Tampa being a mash unit on defense. But he was awesome last night. And I was going to be so bummed for him because when you drop the ball that Mooney dropped late in that game and then you end up missing the field goal, that would have been a walk-in touchdown. That would have been a brutal way to lose that game.
Morris loves him, Kirkers.
He loves Kirkers.
He's hugging him. He's screaming in his ear. By the way, that had to have been the cleanest, quickest, to-the-line spike it I've ever seen in my life.
They actually got it off. Usually it doesn't get off.
I mean, they got that
done. And they got it off.
Like, second and a half.
Yeah, and the report after the game was they changed the call at the last second. They were going to try and shoot for out of bounds. And then at the last second, I think the offense coordinator saw something open in the middle of the field. And he was like, you got to go quick. Hit the slant and get down, and you got to go
quick.
They
had 12 seconds, right? They had 12 when it started. Because they had 17, and they threw the one incompletion.
You sure it was 12?
And I'm pretty sure it was 12.
I thought it was 8, and that's what made that. Or maybe I'm misremembering it, but I didn't know if they'd be able to get it down because London had to fall down eventually.
I'm pretty sure it was 12 seconds.
Let me see. I'll pull up the end of the game drive. See
their
what time
OC
they
got
it.
Lucky too. London is awesome that way that they won that game in walk off fashion.
It was 12 seconds. So they hiked the ball second and 10 with 12 seconds to go,
and they spiked it with one second
to go. And they got it was a 14 yard gain from the 43 yard line to the 23 yard line.
Yeah, their
or 29 yard line.
Their OC kind of stinks.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. When they got the ball back from the Bucky fumble, the first play you call is a run up the gut.
And they couldn't run the ball all night.
You lost 4 yards instantly. What are you doing?
Yeah, all of a sudden you're in second and 14.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
I had a good laugh at home, though, because I saw a lot of tweets circulating after that drive because they went for it on 4th and 15. Kirk Cousins throws the pick.
Why did they go for it? They had 3 timeouts.
I know. I see both sides of that. I mean, do you really trust getting one first down and the game's over? So
but
what do you like the chances of getting 3 straight stops or, you know, picking up 15 yards?
I think the tough thing is that, like, it's easy to say, well, you can't say anything, they won the game. But if you give up a field goal there, you now are forced to get the touchdown because you're down 6.
Yes, you are.
So
they got incredibly lucky.
They got
Tampa,
lucky with that penalty.
They missed a face mask, and Tampa just had a horrible drive on top of it.
Yeah, but Tampa at minimum should have had a field goal out of that drive.
Yes, they should
have. Where they picked it off and where they were field position wise.
That should have been a guaranteed field goal to go up by 6. And if you have that, you win the game. Tampa wins the game. But I just loved it because after he threw that pick, there was a lot of like, oh, there's primetime Kirk Cousins for you throwing a game. And I'm like, dude, the guy at this point has carried their offense all night. He has like 400 passing yards and 3 touchdowns, and we're going to do that. He's carried them offensively all night, but there's primetime Kirk Cousins. When he throws short of the sticks on fourth down, everybody kills him for it. What do you want him to do there? Take a sack and just turn the ball over on 4th and 15? The pocket's collapsing. He's like, I got to get rid of it to just try something, and it happened to be picked off.
I also think I would be very angry as a Falcon fan. We won. I'm happy. Kirk Cousins is swag surfing after the game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I fully enjoyed this Bijan Kyle Pitts experience. These guys are two very hyped players. I don't know if Kyle Pitts is good or if this is another system problem. I have no idea how to gauge that. I know he had 7 catches for 80 yards, but
he was skunked on the score sheet last week, though.
It's largely been a season. He has not had a good year. And Bijan, like, they had all those points, all that offense, 500 passing yards. Bijan didn't really do much.
No. Fantasy owners were livid last night.
Algier, who I have on my fantasy team, got a lot of carries.
He did.
And so I'm like, as a Falcon, if I was a Falcon fan, I'd be happy they won, but I don't know if I'd trust them to say they're good based on how they're winning. And then, like, 2 of my 3 favorite players on this team are largely not doing enough every single week. No.
Guys that you think should be dominant pieces of your offense are not producing at that
level. They're such a weird-ass team, that Falcon team.
I don't know what it is with Kyle Pitts, because it seemingly was blamed early in his career for quarterback play and for their head coach, Arthur Smith.
Their system.
That was what was holding him back. He's fascinating.
His numbers look good on the box score last night.
You watch him, it just doesn't. When he was at Florida, he was supposed to be a generation, and he was when he was at Florida. He was a generational talent, like athlete. And you see him in the NFL, he just doesn't look that way. It's not that they're just not getting him the ball, which that is part of the problem from time to time. But even when they throw him past, he doesn't look like a freak out there. And I don't think
that is an interesting observation and a good one by you, because he doesn't look bigger than
Kittle. He doesn't look bigger. He doesn't look faster. He doesn't look stronger. And that's what you thought he was going to become.
The way they talked about
him. Yes, this guy's 6'6" and 250 pounds, and he runs a 4.440. And you're like, oh my God, we've never seen an athlete like this
before. 45-inch vert.
Yes, yeah. And then you see him, and he's like, there's a linebacker that's sticking to him in man coverage, and he'll make the catch. But
yeah, sometimes
he's not breaking away and extending plays like that. And he doesn't have that, like... Like, he's a better athlete than Travis Kelce, obviously, but Kelce has the expertise and the knowledge, and he's more slippery in the open field. He breaks tackles. He falls forward. There's something missing with Kyle Pitts that we all kind of blamed on Arthur Smith, but it's lingering this year, and I don't know if we can blame it on him anymore.
My cousin texted me in my fantasy, was like, I have a lot of trades on Pitts. What's your read? And I was like, I'd lean trade.
Trade him.
And I mean, 15 minutes after that text, he got like 6 catches. Yeah. And I was like, well,
here you go.
This is why you keep him, in case he has one of those breakout moments and becomes the guy that everybody hyped up in the draft.
I mean, if you're a Falcon fan, at least you had, not that he's been bad also early in his career, but that was an awesome game for Drake London. He was
He's having a great year. He's Kirker's go-to guy.
He was everywhere on the field last night. He was incredibly reliable. He was awesome for them last night.
Had you ever heard of Hodge?
No.
Undrafted dude, journeyman.
The answer to that is no, Bob.
I'm like,
not.
Wait, Merrill's son?
Merrill
is
Hodge?
In the NFL.
You have a Hodge here?
Black.
Hey!
What?
Good for Merrill.
Good for Merrill.
I got some questions, Merrill. How did this happen? What's going on here?
Just one of those, like, if you're a Tampa fan, you watch those missed tackles, and then he just jets up the middle, and you go, oh my God.
The game's over.
The dumbest way to lose a football game.
I was very appreciative of it, because that's bordering on my bedtime when you go Thursday night overtime, and when that thing's at like 8:40 going OT, I'm like, you know what would be really nice? This is a kind of a quick touchdown here.
I think Falcon fan felt.
Falcon fan loved it.
How about Atlanta morning radio host? Yeah. Game almost ended
exactly
at midnight.
Yeah, that's right. We closed out the bar tab. We needed to order an overtime drink.
I think you did. The stadium was like 40% full in overtime, I felt like. They were showing pockets of it.
They lost.
They thought it was over.
They should have lost that game.
And to your point, it was midnight and I'm going home because I have to work tomorrow.
Well, it's a nice kick off the show with some football talk. It is a football Friday. It's a spreading line Friday, too, so we'll get our sponsor in at the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Let's start with tragedy, heartbreak, and also happiness. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, welcome back into a Football Friday. The New York Mets and Major League Baseball are moving on.
And they're going to go to the World Series.
What?
The New York Mets are going to go to the World Series.
They still have to play the NLDS and the NLCS.
This is one of those things that floats around baseball.
Okay.
A random factoid.
Okay.
That has lingered now for, I believe, 9 different postseasons.
You beat the Brewers, you go to the World Series.
There are 10 teams to beat the Brewers in the postseason.
Oh, you were being serious. Okay.
I'm being serious.
Yeah, the Brewers.
10 teams all time.
Okay.
The previous 9,
yeah,
when they beat the Brewers, all went to the World Series.
Hmm.
Any team that has ever beaten the Brewers in the playoffs has gone to the World Series.
Okay.
Now, it's dumb. It doesn't mean anything, but
Thank
I saw that stat yesterday, and I laughed, and I thought, I put $5 on the Mets to win the National League.
Well, what I would say to that is the Brewer thing doesn't mean anything to me, but what I would say to it is, don't the Mets and the Tigers feel like the hot story of, like, oh, they weren't really taught. One was abandoned early because they were a joke.
Yes, they were.
And the other is too young, and nobody saw what they did coming. So, oh, the Mets and Tigers go to the World Series.
Also, anybody out there, name me 3 players on the Detroit Tigers. Go.
Scooble.
Scooball. Okay.
The guy.
The guy. The one guy.
At that position.
They got that guy. Javi Baez does not count. He's out with an injury.
No, they're center fielder.
Yes.
I keep...
He's a great center fielder.
Meadows?
Meadows.
Austin Meadows' little brother.
Sure.
I love Austin Meadows.
Big Austin Meadows guy.
Big Austin Meadows
Big
guy.
Fan of his work.
I know the catcher has a sweet mustache.
Dude, the irony of him is, does he not look like John C. Reilly in For the Love of the Game? He looks like the character John C. Reilly plays in that movie.
Coincidentally, playing the Tigers in that movie.
That's what I mean. The first time he took his mask off, I haven't watched a Tiger game all year until the playoffs. I'm like, look at that. That looks like John C. Reilly.
I'm going to tell you, like, straight up, there's a good video. One of our listeners pulled of Sukanik because this happened live during primetime. Like, Sukanik almost crying on the air as this happening. And that's what's great about sports. I will tell you, in watching this in real time, I'm following this game and I go, two runs, I don't know, man. And then they get to the ninth. And then there's one out. There's a runner on.
and the Mets got that second base runner on, and I'm not kidding out loud to myself, I've seen this before. And it was uncomfortable. That closer for the Brewers, Williams,
yeah,
he did not have his stuff. You could see it early. And that Alonso home run shocked 0% of me. As soon as he hit it, I was like him. Oh, it's gone.
Yep, there it goes.
He knew it the minute it came off the barrel.
It was a little risky because he stood there and kind of admired it. And it was a wall scraper. It was close.
Dude, he hit it and went, yeah!
Like this, I am playing on a softball field right now, right. So this is probably going to be a home run because I hit a bullet. Devin Williams has been one of the best relief pitchers in baseball over however many years now. I love when these numbers come out and the stats blow your minds. He's been in the big league since 2019. Use that for consideration. And now, 5-6 years now, he's only allowed 7 home runs to a right-handed hitter, and never in his big league career has he allowed a right-handed hitter to hit an opposite field home run. The first one he's ever allowed.
How many times has he been in a position to close out and win a playoff series?
Now, he was their setup guy for a long time in the 8th inning, and he's had a couple of clunkers in the playoffs over their runs, because they've been in the playoffs, it feels like, almost every year. But yeah, he has been inserted into the closer role after the Hader trade, and that was not good.
Well, let's listen to some radio. Old-time AM radio calls are always great. Howie Rose of 880 AM Mets Radio. This was the Pete Alonso go-ahead home run.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Frelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a 3-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
So Howie Rose with a great call on the Alonso go-ahead home run.
Awesome call.
Sadly, we need to hear it from the other side.
Bob.
Bob Uecker. We don't know what season's his final season, but he's still calling the games for the Brewers with the Brewer Radio Network, WTMJ. Here was his call when Alonso went yard.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right. Deep warning track and gone. Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one with a 3-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit. Quickly.
They would go on to add another run. They finished the game with 5 hits. I think they went into the inning with 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Largely hadn't done anything.
Nope.
And,
they were shut down the entire game. And when they needed it, there it was. He's 90 years old.
Bob Uecker.
Bob
yeah.
Uecker is 90 years old.
That's unbelievable.
His final call of the game was floating around online last night, too. And I listened to a chunk of him calling it because you could pull it up on the MLB at Bat App. Johnny Ludwig got pissed at me because he was trying to find it, but he's not paying for the MLB at Bat App. And I'm like, well, you can't do it for free, Johnny. Come on. This is only for people who.
He's getting pissed at you.
He was texting me. He's like, hey, I can't hear the Uecker call. You told me on the air I could hear the Uecker call. I'm like, Johnny, calm down, buddy. You're not a paid subscriber here. You're not going to get the call. But I was listening to a bit of his call. His final call was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a guy who understands and acknowledges. I don't know how many more of these I have.
We don't know how long he's going to live.
And so this was a chance to go to the DS. You get into the next round of the playoffs. Maybe you make it to the NLCS. Maybe you win. You never know how far you could go. And heartbreak.
So all of these games are going to start tomorrow. Tigers, Guardians, 10 a.m. start on TBS. Mets, Phillies, an NL East battle for the LCS at 1 o'clock on Fox. Royals, Yanks at 3:30, And then Padres-Dodgers is your nightcap, 5:30.
Does Fox have the National League? Is that how it works? Do they do like an NFL thing?
Yeah, they switch the leagues every year
between
Turner and Fox.
And I think Fox has the NL this year. And
they do. Fox has Mets-Phillies, and FS1 is Padres-Dodgers.
Because as much as I have raised the alarms of how bad a Tigers World Series would be for Major League Baseball, and just in terms of TV ratings and interest in it for non-baseball fans, somebody brought up a great point yesterday. If Fox has to be just doing Scrooge McDuck dives into money pits because they get Mets and Phillies, a great rivalry, two major markets, historical markets.
You get the Yankees.
And you get the Yankees in the playoffs, and then you get the Dodgers and the Padres, which I think will draw people in with Shohei, and it's a good rivalry, and they played great playoff series here in the last couple of years. Like, Fox was thrilled that the Mets came back and won that game yesterday.
All right, give me your LCS teams. Give me the winners of the LDS, because going to talk a whole lot more baseball.
It pains me for my Ken Barkley parlay, but I'm going to take the Mets. They got that Team of Destiny vibe right now. That Brewer stat is dumb, but it's also weird, and so I'm going to follow the logic there.
Who did Ken have in baseball?
He took the Phillies to win the World Series. So in our Ken Barkley
they
parlay.
They got Wheeler on the bump, at least.
They do. I'm totally fine. I'm going to go Mets versus Padres. The Dodgers don't have enough pitching in my mind. Padres are hot. I'm going to go Mets-Padres, and I think I'm going to go chalk in the AL. I think I'm going to go Yankees-Guardians in the AL.
The Yankees have a path where they just have to get through the AL Central to get to the World Series.
That's it.
Come on.
They get the Tigers and the Guardians, potentially, or the Royals.
I'm going to go Yankees-Tigers. I think the Tigers ride this thing. I think it will help them that they're playing a divisional opponent.
Yep.
Somebody that they're familiar with. They're hot. I think they won't get caught up in where they are at this point. That might happen when they face the Yankees and go to the Bronx, but not here. I will, out of sheer loyalty, take the Dodgers. I am nervous as hell. And
you got Yamamoto on the mound.
We'll see.
You paid like $300 million.
I know, and he was hurt half the season.
Is he went on one of those illegal contracts, too, where you don't pay him until 2052?
No, he's
on a legal contract? Okay, right.
Half his contract, they just pay him in sushi. Hey, dude, keep that sushi train going.
That contract was cleared by the Major League front office. hopefully... Doc Roberts can manage his bullpen, not micromanage.
Mets-Phillies, who do you got?
I got the Phillies.
Phillies.
I like their ability to set up their rotation now, I think. And that place having home field advantage, if they get back there, that one might go seven.
The atmospheres in those two series are going to be
nuts.
In both places are going to be awesome.
I'm going to take Padres-Phillies, excuse me, and Yankees-Tigers.
Yankees-Tigers.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Speaking of, for love of the game, who did he throw a perfect game against?
Exactly.
Yeah. The Yankees, with Vin Scully on the call, because
it
all connected.
All right, let's move on from baseball. I want to get to some college football dealings. We have a return of the Dirty Poll. The Dirty Poll is back. We'll get to it next on The Fan. Well, we got a Duck game day to get to. And 6 o'clock kick against Michigan State tonight. Jonathan Smith back in the state of Oregon.
Well, Johnny Boy's back in town. We'll give him a warm welcome.
Our good friend Jack Velling as well.
Yes. How many others? They got a couple other guys,
Aiden
right?
Aiden Childs.
Well, obviously Aiden, yeah. Is there an offensive lineman, too?
There was a lineman.
Yeah, there's a lineman in there.
Okay.
So he's got a couple deflectors?
Deflectors?
Defectors?
Defectors.
Defectors.
We took their best defensive player, too.
You did, Harmon.
Derek Harmon, who's been a monster for Oregon early in the year.
He's been very good for the Ducks. So we'll get in. I'll dive into some Oregon stuff coming up here at 6:45 and at 7. But we haven't done the Dirty Poll all week, as you noted yesterday.
Dirty Poll time.
And so I wanted to offer you the opportunity. We're going into week 6.
Week 6? Isn't that wild?
It's incredibly crazy.
What the hell happened, man?
Well, you know, the thing that sucks is all these bad games happen, and it's like, oh, there's a week gone.
Yeah, just flies on by.
So the Dirty Poll for all the new listeners out there, maybe you're driving down Eugene, is Andy Dirt Johnson's top 10 in college football.
It's actually my top 12, college football playoff
matchups.
That's
right, top 12.
We're doing matchups this year.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do it easier because last week I did it and it didn't make a lot of sense the way that I broke it down, so I'm going to do it in a different way this week. So, start with our top four, your first-round byes, right? These are going to go to conference champions, so not my four best teams in the country. These are the four teams.
So these are the teams with the byes.
With the byes.
Okay.
Conference champs. Alabama beats Georgia last week. Don't need to say anything more than that. They're the best team right now. That's the best win in the SEC. They get that credit. They are number one. Number two, you got to go to the Big Ten. Ohio State haven't really beaten anybody yet, but they also haven't had a close game. We'll find out more about them a little bit this week, and then obviously more so next week when they're in Eugene. They're number two. I contemplated booting Miami out of the number three spot for the ACC. But as long as they're undefeated, I'll let them hold on to it. If they make me nervous again tomorrow night at Cal, I might flip-flop Clemson in Miami because I think Clemson's playing great football right now. But Miami is your ACC champ as number three. Four was Utah, and then Utah is now again, it's like deja vu. No Cam Rising, no quarterback. They lose at home, can't score against Arizona. Iowa State is my front runner right now in the Big 12, so I'm going to go Iowa State. Number four is your Big 12 champ. Get to the at-larges, and here are your matchups. Number five, I know they're not undefeated, and some teams are undefeated. I'm not going to punish them for a close loss on the road to the number one team in the country. They also have a blowout win against a team that's currently in a lot of playoff models. I got Georgia at five.
Okay.
They are taking on the 12 seed, group of five champ, or top champ, if you will. Boise State is my number 12. That win over Washington State was massive for them.
Isn't this how you did this last week?
No, I gave them. I went five all the way to 12, and then I didn't give the matchups. So I'm giving you the matchups right out of the gate to have it hopefully make a little bit more sense. So five Georgia, 12 Boise State. Win over Washington State was huge. They got a couple of challenging games the rest of the way. Oregon State at the end of the year. Boise State's got a great chance at making the playoff. Number six is Texas. They've leaked oil a little bit the last couple of weeks without Quinn Ewers. They haven't looked great. They were in a bit of a dogfight against Mississippi State this weekend. It was like 13-6 in the second half. They eventually have pulled away, but their quarterback's been down. They're better with Quinn Ewers. Texas is going to be fine long term. They're six. They're taking on number 11, the team that I have easily the least amount of confidence in, but everybody else keeps losing. So at least for the time being, they can grab a spot, and that is Missouri. They're undefeated. They're going on the road to Texas A&M this weekend. I think they're going to lose tomorrow, and at that point, they will be booted. Everybody else has losses. I'm going to give the credit to Missouri, I guess, because they're undefeated. Tennessee is number seven. Don't need to say much there. The resume is solid. They play a nice, interesting game this weekend on the road at Arkansas. Got some massive games coming up in the next handful of weeks. Tennessee, seven. They would be taking on the 10-seed Clemson, who I will repeat, I think is playing really good football. Their offense has been explosive. Go look up the numbers Cade Klubnik is putting up over the last month since the Georgia game. They look great. They're at number 10. And then my 8-9 matchup is Penn State at 8, Oregon at number 9. So we would get a Big Ten game that's not a regular season game in the first week of the playoffs at Penn State. Whiteout game. It would be kind of fun.
I'm a little surprised by your Missouri pick.
I got to be honest with you. I don't like it either.
Why are they in there? It feels dirty.
So who
you're not somebody that abides by what you're undefeated.
You've got to trust the dirty pull process,
so,
though.
Here's the thing. They have a win over a team.
But if they lose this weekend.
See, not currently ranked, but they do have a win over a top 25 team. They beat Boston College. And Boston College was ranked in the top 25 at the time of the win.
In your top 25?
Boston College is playing decent football. They're not a top 15 team in the country, but Boston College is not garbage. I'll tell you that. That's what I'll say. So here's the conundrum that
they
you have.
They need their quarterback. It's Castellanos back.
He's going to play this weekend.
Okay.
Here's the conundrum. You have a bunch of one-loss teams, and there's like a weird three-way of we beat you, you beat me, and they beat them kind of thing going on.
Okay.
So Ole Miss loses to Kentucky at home. They also don't have a win over anybody good. Ole Miss is out. I'm not putting Ole Miss in. You can't lose at home to Kentucky. Then there's the trio.
Who's better between Ole Miss and Missouri to you?
I genuinely don't know.
Really?
I thought Ole Miss was, and then they scored 13 points at home against Kentucky and looked awful doing
Missouri
it.
Went to overtime with Vanderbilt.
They did, and Vanderbilt's feisty this year. Feisty. Vanderbilt beat Virginia Tech in week one. They're not bad. Vanderbilt's not bad. They're not the doormat they've historically been.
Anchors down.
Look, you're making me prop up Missouri now, and I don't feel comfortable doing this.
That's why I'm doing it.
We have a trio of one-loss teams, though. So let me ask you this. How would you rank the trio of Michigan, USC, and LSU?
So here's my only thing, real quick. I'll answer that question. The dirty poll is different than regular polls, I thought, when you established this, because you're somebody not paralyzed by the fear. You're somebody that's looking to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're betting on Missouri to be in the playoff at this juncture.
It's a combination.
But you also
of
don't sound like somebody confident they're winning this weekend.
We'll give them 1 week. They're going
to
be up.
If you were to press me, I forgot the teams you just asked me about.
Well, because you have Michigan, USC, LSU all have one loss.
Michigan, no.
And they beat USC. So you're going to rank USC ahead of them? They won the head-to-head game.
I don't know if I'd have any of those teams in my playoffs.
Oh, that's totally
I'm
fair.
I'm not doing this. This isn't the Sprague poll.
Well,
this
that to me segment. Is that's the next combination of teams that I would choose from over Missouri.
See, and I think you're missing a team entirely.
Who am I missing entirely?
I think Kansas State is better than Missouri.
They got bludgeoned by BYU. bludgeoned in that game.
You watched that game.
I did. Oh. And they lost by 30.
Yeah, that was one of those.
The numbers are misleading.
Score does not indicate what happened.
Final
in that
scores
game.
Are final scores, and they lost by 30 in a conference game on the road.
Okay.
That's a horrible loss.
Also, steamrolled Arizona.
They did. They did steamroll Arizona. Had Is Arizona nice, good?
They steamrolled Oklahoma State last weekend.
They did. Is Oklahoma State good?
Well, Arizona, you can certainly argue they're on that Boston. If you're going to give Missouri Boston College credit,
mm-hmm.
Arizona's better than Boston College to me, and they beat Oklahoma State, who's in the top 25.
Okay. I don't think Oklahoma State's ranked anymore, and they won't be the rest of the year.
They were when they played them.
They were when they played them.
So,
and they also got beat up at home by a backup quarterback in Utah. So I don't know what to make of Oklahoma State.
Well, I don't
State
think
either.
Oklahoma State's very good.
That's the hard part.
You're playing, it's a weird game to play with, like, how you. Who beat who and who is good thing. I think it's impossible with a lot of these teams to properly identify it. I'm just shocked that Ole Miss is now out.
They're out. They lost to Kentucky.
Kansas State's not in consideration. Like, you're no. in the Michigan, LSU, USC.
Yeah, I would take any of those teams to beat Kansas State right now.
Really?
I would. Michigan, USC, or LSU. Wow. I think they're all better than Kansas State.
Man.
And I know Kansas State looked good this weekend, but again, I don't think Oklahoma State's good.
You also don't sound like you think Missouri's good, but Missouri's
no,
in.
No, I don't. I just didn't know which one of those
Eli
three teams
Drinkwitz
to rank.
Guy. Didn't know you were such a big Drinkwitz guy.
Big Drinkwitz guy, man.
Man, okay. There you go. There's the Dirty Poll. That's why we do the Dirty Poll. Look at the conversations it creates. A lot of hot takes.
Creating content, baby.
Yeah. Top four, Bama, Ohio State, Miami, Iowa State. You also think Iowa State's the cream of the crop of the Big 12?
No, I don't, but I don't really know where to go there. I don't know what to do with the Big 12. I'm lost in the Big 12, buddy.
This used to be a very confident segment, and now there's a lot of,
That's the beauty of college football this year, man. There's seven different teams that can win the Big 12. People are, BYU is one of those teams. BYU has a blowout
undefeated.
Win over Kansas State. They're
undefeated. Yeah.
But I gave Iowa State the credit for the comeback win over Iowa. The Big 12 is an absolute crapshoot right now, and anybody can win it.
All right, there we go. There's the Dirty Poll. Let's pivot into Oregon. They've got a game today against Michigan State. We'll talk about that starting next on The Fan. Don't be too hard on Dirt. The Dirty Poll is controversial. It's meant to create conversation.
It is messy by nature.
It's been a tough 24 hours for Dirt. Garth Brooks is in the news for reasons we don't need to talk about.
Yeah, not good. I didn't see that till this morning.
Well, he can blame it all on his roots.
That was Chris Gaines. Chris Gaines did that. Can we do that? That wasn't Garth. That was Chris.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works.
That's not how that works. No, I can't do that.
Told my wife the Garth Brooks news, and she turns, and she's not a Garth Brooks fan at all, and she just turns and goes, what celebrity isn't a scumbag at this point?
I mean, at this point, I just go in with the expectation now that there's something bad is out there,
yeah.
And eventually we're going to find out about it. If you live long enough, your chickens will come home to roost.
Oregon's got a Friday night football game here on The Fan.
Yes. Friday Night Lights.
Got Michigan State in town.
Sparty.
The first official Big Ten game against a traditional Big Ten team.
Yes.
It's different. Last week's was a Big Ten, not Big Ten game. This is a Big Ten, Big Ten game.
You're damn right it is.
Hate college football now.
None of it makes any sense, Bob. And it's kind of weird that we've played Michigan State a lot over the years. Akili Smith torched them in the 90s. They came to town. I think there was a return trip there at some point in the 90s. They obviously, Mariota beat them the year they went to the playoff in 2014. There was the Vernon Adams game where they were an inch away from beating Michigan State that year.
Pass he threw.
Just overthrew it. Michigan State went to the playoff that year. And who can forget one of the greatest football games ever played? The 2000 and I want to say 18 Red Box Bowl, in which Justin Herbert and the Ducks won 7-6 over the fighting Michigan State Spartans.
That was in San Francisco, right?
That was San Francisco Red Box Bowl. And I believe the final was 7-6, and that was Mario's first bowl win.
What a moment in time that Red Box had a bowl game. And remember Red Box?
I do remember Red Box.
You know, when we lost the movie renting places, the Blockbusters, the Hollywood Videos.
Redbox is a big deal.
Redbox had a real moment. And I went, oh my Lord.
They did.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I hit a Redbox every Friday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Every Friday?
When you and I were doing night shows or
go check out a movie, grab one for the weekend or grab two for the weekend.
Every single week, I was a big Redbox guy.
Wow.
Massive Redbox.
Does Redbox still exist?
Yes.
They do. They're still out there.
There's one at a Walgreens near my house.
Really?
I've never seen anybody at it, but it's there.
Yeah. saying, yeah, check out an Albertsons. That seems like
I think Albertsons probably up front. Yes. Yeah, shopping centers. I went up just for the to look at it, just for fun and memories. Oregon had 203 total yards of offense in that game.
I remember that game.
And it was 6-0 until like 3 minutes left. They scored a touchdown and won.
It was like the Oregon State Pittsburgh game.
Yes.
And it's one of those like your team wins, but it's not something you should brag about.
6-3, I believe that game, or was it 3-0?
I think it was 3-0.
I think that one was 3-0.
Yeah. Weather was really bad.
A lot of wind down there in El Paso.
Yeah, 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
Passes going backwards.
That's not – it's like those bowl wins are not games you brag about. You're like, yeah, they won. Let's move on.
You brag if it gets you to a nice win total, you'll brag about that. Of like, if it gets you to 10 wins or something, you'll be like, hey, we had a 10-win season.
Yeah, then it was quirky.
Then
remember the 10th win, how weird and wacky it was?
Hey, but we got there, though. That's all that matters.
No, but people going down, leaving early, getting ready for the tailgates today. I haven't participated in a tailgate in a long time.
I got invited to a tailgate by a Beaver fan today.
At an Oregon game?
Yeah. One of our P1s hit me up yesterday.
We got a Beaver fan going down. Is he wearing orange?
Because I want him to be. So I checked with him. So he hit me up yesterday, and he said, hey, if you're hanging out after the show, come grab a beer. We're just going to be hanging out over by PK Park. And I know this P1, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I know you're like one of the most passionate Beaver fans that listens to the show. And I said, are you just going to boo Jonathan Smith? And he said, 100%.
Can I?
And he said he's going to wear orange. And so I said, I'm not sticking around for this game, so I would love to come over and bash Michigan State with you prior to the game. But that was my first tailgater that I heard from this week was a Beaver fan.
I was kicking myself. I picked my kid up the other day, and I don't know why, but sometimes show things or ideas pop in your brain at random moments.
All the time.
Kicking myself. Today we're doing family photos. So I can't go to this game.
No.
But I wish I would have blocked this out at the start of the season, because the thought of my head was dress in all orange, head to toe.
Yep.
Beaver orange. And the sign I'd make, because I'd use our company seats, because we've got decent seats.
And I imagine they're not all getting used today for Friday night
game.
Not
a chance.
Yeah! Go, Beaver!
The sign I would make in all orange at Autzen is a picture of the little girl from Jurassic Park, and it just says under, he left us. And I would just hold it and stoically look at the cameras.
Just stare.
Remember the guy at the Royals game with the thumbs down? He just, no emotion?
Yeah.
That'd be me with the sign with the girl from Jurassic Park that just says, he left us.
You left us.
He left us.
Can you believe him? He left us.
And I would... easily, you would make television if you're an orange with that sign. They would show you at least
four times.
Oh, the
Fox cameras would find you.
Easily. Yes.
Look, there's not a... If Jonathan Smith wasn't the head coach of Michigan State, and this was just a bad Michigan State team coming to town, I don't think there's a lot of intrigue or interest or, you know, just go take care of business and let's talk about Ohio State next week.
Yeah.
It just adds such a unique layer. And I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of orange in that stadium tonight, but there's going to be some orange in that stadium
tonight. I want to see a couple orange Beaver fans out there, not really rooting for Oregon, but absolutely rooting against Jonathan.
Because, he texted and he said he's considering wearing orange. And P1 Taylor, if you're listening, go head to toe. You need to go all in. This is not.
I think so too.
If you're going to a Duck game,
Duck fans will actually probably welcome you in more.
Without a doubt. Yes. Hey, let's go, baby. Come root for us for a night, man. You're welcome into the fold. If you're going to a Duck game, your most hated rival, to root against your old, you have to be head to toe in orange.
You have to celebrate.
You don't wear some
that.
Like gray shirt and just blend into the crowd.
No,
you got to stick
orange,
out like a sore
orange,
thumb.
Orange.
Yeah. Don't be Roblo neutral.
No.
Logo shield.
Punt sweatshirt. Like
Ducks will appreciate the petty of those fans.
Dude, you're damn right. We're going to hate watch Mario on Saturday night, man. I know exactly where you're at. Let's go, Cal. I know how you feel.
Dirt's going woke Saturday
night. I'm woke, man. The woke agenda's taking over my household. It's 7:30 tomorrow night.
You could probably still find a quick flight down to the east side of the bay.
To the woke area. Go watch that game.
Somebody made a AI image of the Miami-Cal game, and they AI imaged Pate with his train. And it's Pate State train, and the back is the Cal Bear, and the entire back train is a rainbow.
Just big rainbow.
And Josh Pate was taken aback, I think, by this. So.
He's a little,
the woke little engine.
It's woke engine's coming for you, man. You get out of the way when the woke engine's on the tracks.
You put up an interesting poll question. We're going to start the second hour. I actually have some Duck stuff I want to talk about. Leroy Jenkins, one of our P1s, is saying, we're not talking enough Ducks.
Mm.
I've got actual Duck stuff I want to talk about in relation to this game. I also have an interesting Oregon State note I want to get to as well. So we have a lot to get to in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.